the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
Across the Gulf South.
It's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. You're tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Hey, Damian, good morning.
Good morning. It's beautiful out there. Oh, I'm great. I'm ready for the weekend. How about you?
Yes, I am ready. We have
big
a busy
plans.
Weekend.
Yeah, what you got planned?
Yeah. Family activities, birthday parties, the list goes on and on.
Very
it's
good.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, same here. Got a few family activities as well. All right. Well, we are so glad you could join us here this morning on Wake Up. And as always, we'd like to begin our day in prayer. So we will do just that. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, we ask that you give us the grace and provide us with those insights that we need to be in better communion with you. Spending time alone with you becomes something that we want to grow closer to you along the way. Dear God, help us to find time for prayer and to talk to you in silence and solitude. And when we have time alone with you, help us to know you more. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint
Amen.
Theopolis of Corte, pray for us. He's our
pray
saint
for
of the
us.
Day.
And we'll learn more about our saint of the day later on in today's show. But we're starting off with David Summers. He's an organist and musical director over at St. Joseph's Cathedral in Baton Rouge. And we're going to be talking about the Feast of the Ascension events happening over at St. Joseph's Cathedral. That's coming up in about 6 minutes. In 18 minutes, Tyler Morrow joins us. She's a recruitment coordinator with CASA. And today we're going to be talking about foster care in Baton Rouge and how there is an urgent need for this in the capital city. In 35 minutes, Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, joins us. We're going to be talking about crab cakes, fish tacos, and some wonderful recipes for the weekend. And in 48 minutes, Sister Alicia Torres joins us to talk about the National Eucharistic Revival. So it's going to be a great show today. And Damian, since we have events or, I guess, activities happening this weekend, looking forward to some, hopefully, great weather.
And it should be a good weekend overall. It's going to be beautiful today, as we already mentioned, and plenty of sunshine. Few clouds in the afternoon. High is going to be around 92 and low 72. Little chance of rain tomorrow. It should be just as nice. High will be in the low 90s, and chance of rain is going to be about 20%, primarily in the afternoon if you get a shower. And then Sunday, it is expected to be overcast, and that's going to cool things down a little bit. High is only going to be about 85. Winds are going to come out of the north-northwest as well. That'll keep things a little cooler, and winds should blow around 5 to 10 miles an hour. Rain chance on Sunday, 25%. Temperatures in and around the area right now. Over in Hammond and Mandeville, it's 72 degrees. Home of Thibodeau as well, 72. Bay St. Louis, 75. In New Orleans, 76. And in Baton Rouge, the coolest spot right now in South Louisiana, it's 70 degrees. So those are your temps. That's your forecast for today and the weekend. So plan accordingly. I know we will. And yeah, looking forward to also talking to Jeff Young today. You know, crabs are in season, and what I mean by that is they are running real well right now. So I figured, why not? Let's talk about crab cakes and maybe something else you can do with crab meat while you're peeling them, you know, outside of just eating at a crab ball. So we'll have some good recipes coming your way in just a little bit. In the meantime, we've got the gospel coming up next. It's 5 after on this Friday morning on Wake Up.
A Good Friday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy. When a woman is in labor, she is in anguish because her hour has arrived. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the pain because of her joy that a child has been born into the world. So you also are now in anguish. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. On that day, you will not question me about anything. Amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker, for today's Gospel. David Summers now joins us on Wake Up. He's an organist and musical director over at St. Joseph's Cathedral in Baton Rouge. And I actually had the joy of hearing David play multiple times. And you guys, this is something you don't want to miss, is hearing David Summers play the organ or anything that has to do with mass, with music involved. David is the guy. Good morning, Dave. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for being on the morning show with us today. Tell us a little bit about what's going on at St. Joseph's Cathedral this weekend.
Well, obviously, we've heard you talk about the Feast of the Ascension upcoming this weekend. Our diocese, as most in this area, celebrate that this Sunday. And we have a couple special musical guests joining us this weekend. We have some members of the Baton Rouge Symphony Orchestra who are coming to play. We have a trumpet, we have a timpanist, we have four string players, as well with our cathedral choir as well too. Now we have every Sunday at the 10:30 Mass, and we've planned a couple special anthems for this weekend. One is "Achieved is the Glorious Work from the Creation" by Joseph Haydn. This is something that we wanted to do for years, but you really have to have an orchestra to pull that one off. It doesn't come as well on just the organ. So we, through an anonymous donor who helped us pay for all this, we're very grateful. That work was originally about God creating the world. "Achieved is the Glorious Work." It was a story about God's creation. However, it fits perfectly for the Feast of the Ascension too, as the text talks about it's appropriate for Christ finishing his work on earth, ascending into heaven and taking his place on high forever. And a second special anthem we're doing is "God Is Gone Up" by Gerald Finzi. It comes from an English music tradition. These are both in English. They're very approachable, easy to listen to. So we're excited to offer those.
So are these going to be at all of the Masses this weekend over at St. Joseph's Cathedral?
This is just the 10:30 Mass. It's our principal liturgy. We will have Bishop Duca with us. So that is just 10:30. We also have an 8:30 Mass, but we'll, this is just 10:30.
Well, and tell us, you know, you have been playing the piano, the organ, really been accompanying music for so long. Talk about the beauty of music in the liturgy. When I see something like a string quartet, I think of Our Lady of Mercy on Christmas Day, or, you know, because that's where I went on my, that's where my parish was in Baton Rouge, and it was such a beautiful mass, and one you'll never forget.
Well, just having that orchestral sound just provides something else to the liturgy. It provides an extra bit of dignity, you know, and I'm quick to tell our singers and our players that this is not a performance that we give. This is not a concert. This is prayer. This is worship. Mm-hmm. This is orienting ourselves to God. Everything that we do is about helping people pray downstairs. So I have to take that performer, that listen to me kind of mindset away. I love the fact that we are in the loft, that we're also not a visual distraction. Some people like to see, you know, the musicians and the things going on, but we love for you just to sit there, listen, maybe look at the stained glass, maybe look at the incensing that's happening on the altar or any other liturgical action, and just know you're in the presence of the Almighty.
Absolutely. Well, tell us one more time the date and time of the Mass that we can hear all this beautiful music.
This is St. Joseph Cathedral. This is the 10:30 Mass this weekend. Parking is easy downtown on the weekends. Don't let that keep you away. And our 10:30 Mass is also, you know, our most crowded Mass, but we don't anticipate standing room only. We have room for you too. This is the Mother Church of the Diocese. If you're in our listening area here, St. Joseph Cathedral is your parish as well too. We're not trying to tell you to switch churches, but please come visit us. Please come check in every now and then, especially on a weekend like this.
Thank you so much, David Summers, organist and musical director over at St. Joseph's Cathedral in Baton Rouge. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Gabby.
You can also find out all of this information on the Mass this weekend at ccmedia.live on our events calendar. Check those out. But there are so many other events happening in our local area, Damien, that we are looking forward to that you can also check out on our calendar as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, today is the beginning of the 9-day novena for the Holy Spirit. I don't know if people know that or not. And it just so happens the Holy Spirit novena and revival is kicking off at St. John of the Cross in Lacombe, Louisiana this evening, 6:15. Yes. They're going to have confession and praise and worship. And then Father Sidney Speaks is going to celebrate Mass at 7 o'clock. And it's going to be a chock-a-block full of great, I guess, praise and worship. Healing Mass is going to be included in that 9-day Mass novena. So it's really going to be a big event. And St. John of the Cross in Lacombe, if you get a chance, go on out there. Also, I want to mention, if you're looking for a 5-day silent directed retreat, one is coming up. It's going to be in June, June 26th to July 2nd, in the Archdiocese of New Orleans Retreat Center, sponsored by Franciscan Missionaries of the Archdiocese Spiritual Center. It's $500. It includes room and board. If you've never been on a 5-day silent retreat, it's really powerful. It's directed.
It
it's one-on-one, and you spend 5 days in silence, prayer, and rest. So
never know you need it until you go.
Yeah,
until you realize you don't need to talk.
That's right. So if you want more info, go to fran.edu/retreat. franu.edu/retreat. We'll post it on our website too. All right, folks. 15 after the hour, huh, Gab? Moving right along.
Yeah.
Stick around.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 19th. Today we celebrate St. Theophilus of Corte. If you expect saints to continually do marvelous things and leave behind great writings and insights, you're likely to be disappointed with St. Theophilus. The mystery of God's grace in Theophilus's life, in any person's life, however, has a beauty all its own. Theophilus was born in 1676 in Corsica, Italy, of rich, noble parents. As a young man, he entered the Franciscan order. He soon showed his love for solitude and prayer. After completing his studies with distinction, he was ordained a priest. Theophilus was assigned to a house of recollection near Rome. Inspired by the austere life of his fellow Franciscans there, he went on to establish other such houses in Corsica and Tuscany. Though he was always somewhat sickly, Theophilus generously served the needs of God's people. As time went on, he gave more and more devoted service to God and to God's sons and daughters. This was especially true in the confessional, among the sick, and at the graveside. Worn out by his labors, he died in 1740 at the age of 64. He was canonized just over 200 years later in 1930. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Welcome back to Wake Up. Damian Collado along with Gabby Smith. It is 19 after the hour. Get up, get going. It's Friday, folks. Get ready for the weekend. And right now, get ready for Tyler Morrow. She is recruitment coordinator with CASA. And we're here to talk about foster care and update what's going on in the Baton Rouge area. Tyler has been with us in the past. Good morning, young lady. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. How are y'all?
We're doing fine. And I know CASA has been very busy. You know, I was looking at the website just yesterday and was impressed with the fact that 316 foster children and youth have been served in our area in just the past year. Boy, what a wonderful gift that you guys are providing to these children and young people.
Yes, absolutely. And we were really happy with that number. However, there still is a wait list of children who need CASA volunteers, about 160. So we tried our best last year to get as many people in our training classes and are trying just as hard this year because of the number of children entering foster care.
So let's talk about that. First of all, let's take one quick step back. Let everyone know what CASA stands for. We know in Spanish it means house, but, you know, and your house is our house, but we want to provide homes for these young people, and one way of doing that is what CASA represents. So share with them what the acronym is.
Yeah, absolutely. So CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocate, and basically we recruit community volunteers to speak on behalf of children who have entered the foster care system because of abuse or neglect. So this volunteer will follow this child throughout their case, kind of be their eyes and ears, and speak on their behalf in the courtroom. There's a lot of people in the courtroom, but no one in there is really speaking on that child's best interest. So the CASA volunteer is there to speak on their behalf and make sure that that child ends up in a safe and permanent home.
Wonderful. Now, do they ever act as a mentor as well along the way?
Absolutely. So there's a lot of people coming in and out of this child's life. They're being moved around from home to home, but this CASA volunteer is the one constant in this child's life. We ask that our volunteers visit the child once a month and stay with their case for at least a year. So you become a huge part of this child's life, and many of our volunteers, even after the child's case ends, stays in touch with their CASA child. One of our CASA child even still goes to one of our volunteers' Christmas. So they stay in their lives, and they're a very important person in that child's life.
Okay, so as recruitment coordinator, here's your chance. Let everyone know what one must do as far as qualifications and need to meet as far as being a volunteer.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so first thing is you have to be 21 years old, and you have to pass an extensive background check, and that is about it. You do not have to have any background in social work, law, anything, know anything about the foster care system, the courtroom, anything like that. That's a common misconception. You just have to be a community volunteer who is looking to do something good for a child who has been abused or neglected. You have to go through our 32-hour training, which our next one will be September 12th if anyone is looking to become a CASA volunteer. And once you go through that training, you will be almost immediately assigned a child in the foster care system, and then your case will start. So the main things are 21 and pass an extensive background check.
So I didn't realize, so there are only certain periods of time in which you can go through the 32-hour training course, right? Sounds like.
Yes. So we are actually currently having our May training now. And then our next one will be in September. And then we are actually decided to do a CASA boot camp. And I'm putting that in quotes, but y'all can't see. And that will be in November. And that will be a sped up version of our training, some online, some in person. And this is for the people who really want to be a CASA volunteer but can't commit to 32 hours of in-person training. So we'll be trying that for the first time in November for anyone who has had that issue in the past.
Okay. And I understand you have over 150 active volunteers right now, right?
Wow.
Yes, we do. And those volunteers are all working on their cases, all of our advocate supervisors, which I didn't explain yet, but once you become a CASA volunteer, the reason you don't have to have a background in social work or anything like that is because you will be assigned an advocate supervisor from our office who helps you with all of the court reports and everything like that that you might, as a community volunteer, might not know about. So our advocate supervisors are currently assigned 30 volunteers each. We are trying our best to just get every child served.
Okay, and what are some other ways? Okay, let's say I want to volunteer, but maybe not make that big of a commitment. Are there some other needs that you guys have?
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, our biggest one is donations. That helps us. Our biggest fundraising event will be August 20th, Casas for Casa Fiesta, which you can see all about on our website, casabr.org. And then we have a few other events throughout the year that we've been trying to do more of to include our Casa volunteers and having kids come with them. We just had a Casa Carnival that we had some volunteers that weren't Casa volunteers who just helped us from the outside set up, work tables, everything like that. So we do have a few events throughout the year that we always need help with, that we always need volunteers to come help set up, work the event, everything like that.
Okay. And that is going to take place where? At Red Stick, I believe?
Yes, the Fiesta will be at Red Stick Social on August 20th from 5 to 8 p.m. And there's a sponsor packet on our website. There's an auction. We'll have a live auction there, and that is all on our website for you to start looking at.
Okay. And August 20th, 2023. So we still have some time, but yeah. Sounds like a fun time, and it's always for a good cause. Share with us some of the goals that you guys have moving forward for the second half of 2023.
So our biggest goal right now, before COVID, we were serving every single child in East Baton Rouge Parish. And since COVID, we now have a wait list of over 160 kids in the foster care system. So as my job, I am just trying to recruit as many volunteers to be able to cover these kids, because without a CASA volunteer, like I said, there's really no one speaking on these children's behalf, and it's more likely that they do not end up in a safe and permanent home. So my biggest goal for this year is to at least shorten or completely get rid of this wait list that we have and continue to serve every child in East Baton Rouge Parish.
That is amazing that many children you're having to deal with. It's just upsetting.
Why is
almost
that,
it breaks my abused family in situations like that. But what are some of the causes, as Gabby's relating to? How do they get to where you are?
So teachers in schools are mandated reporters of abuse and neglect. And so when COVID happened and kids were brought out of school, the abuse or the neglect wasn't being seen as much. And so once all the children went back to school, children flooded into the foster care system like Baton Rouge has never seen before. And so it was just an influx of children coming into the foster care system because teachers were able to start reporting it again. And we assume just being in the house for so long, being locked up for so long, things like that can happen. So that's when they all came in, and that's when we didn't have enough volunteers. And before COVID, we had volunteers who were on a wait list to get a child. And now it's just completely opposite.
Yeah. In fact, 178 advocates volunteered and served 316 children in 2022. 87 children reached their forever homes last year. That's nice. Still got a lot of work ahead of everyone. And I say everyone because we all need to get involved with CASA. This is such a worthwhile program. And you mentioned donations. If someone wants to donate, where do they go? You have a website, or can they mail it in to you? How do you take funds?
Yes. So donations obviously are so, so helpful to a nonprofit like CASA. If you go to our website, www.casabr.org, immediately a donate pop-up will come up right on your screen, and you'll be able to easily donate right there on our website.
Do you receive any funds from the state or public?
Yes. We are funded by two federal grants, and then the rest of our money comes from fundraising.
Okay. And so make it a point to put on your calendar, CASA, is it CASA for CASA?
Casas for Casa Fiesta, which will be August 20th at Red Stick Social.
All right. And if they want to learn more, what's the website if they want to volunteer or sign up and learn more about Casa?
Yeah, so to learn more about CASA and to volunteer, you can go to www.casabr.org/volunteer. And there you can actually sign up for a 30-minute Zoom with someone from our office to kind of explain further what it is to be a CASA volunteer and answer any questions you have before committing to the training.
Tala Morrow, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank y'all so much.
Well, you keep up the good work, and you're an advocate for sure of CASA. So best of luck to you, and we'll have you back on in the near future to get an update.
Great. Thank y'all for having me.
Okie doke, folks. 30 after the hour, it's moving right along. Jeff Young, the Catholic Foodie's next on Wake Up. After the hour, and it's Friday morning. Happy one at that. Welcome back to Wake Up. With us now, Jeff Young, the Catholic Foodie. He's with us every week to give you a little food and faith combination. And good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
You doing all right, my brother?
I'm doing great.
Well, good. Just wanted to check the pulse. I wasn't sure if
Got my coffee.
Okay, good, good. Well, sip away. But look, I know crabs are in season right now. Everybody's catching them. Everybody's eating them. And what better item to talk about? I don't want to talk about bowling crabs. I want to talk about crab cakes. Seems like everywhere you go, some are better than others. And I want to know what you feel is the best crab cake recipe.
That's true. Well, I tell you, you know, I'm glad you want to talk about crab cakes and not boiling crabs, because, you know, boiling crabs, well, I should say eating boiled crabs feels to me like a whole lot of work for very little return on your investment.
I agree 100%.
It's like, I'd rather just give me one of those things of like lump crab meat.
Yep.
Right at the grocery store or the seafood market, and it's just a whole lot easier. Char loves boiled crabs. I mean, just she'll go to town on them, and of course she's like expert too at knowing how to break them open and get all the good stuff out. You know, and I'm usually fumbling along saying, "Can you remind me how to do this again? I can't remember."
But when it comes to crab cakes, somebody's already peeled them for us.
That's it. And, you know, I got this recipe I'm going to share with you from Father Brew, Father Daniel Bruyette, who is the pastor now at St. Peter's in Covington.
Yeah.
And this is
a Shalmatian.
This is something that appeared first in the Clarion Herald probably, I don't know, 10 years ago maybe. And they gave me permission to run this last summer on Catholic Foodie. So it's over there. But he said his complaint, because he loves crab cakes, right? Father Brew loves crab cakes. Mm-hmm. And his complaint was that a lot of places where you go, they're using breadcrumbs as a binder, right? And the problem with breadcrumbs is that if you're deep frying the crab cakes, that breadcrumbs are going to soak up all the grease, first of all. And it's not that healthy, right? But it also makes the crab cake a little kind of soggy on the inside. And so he had this one restaurant he used to go to that where he just loved their crab cakes. They were so good. And they weren't as heavy and greasy, you know. And so he ended up bumping into one of the chefs at the grocery, I think, and asked him, so what makes yours so different? And he found out their secret. And the secret is, instead of using breadcrumbs as the binder, they use pureed shrimp.
Hmm. Interesting.
And so it's the crab cakes end up becoming lighter and fluffier. Now he'll toast some panko breadcrumbs prior to making the crab cakes. He'll toast that, and he'll just sprinkle some of that on the top and bottom of the cakes. So you do have that little extra crunch, right? That comes with it.
You want a little of that
on those cakes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to be, you don't have the bread that's binding the whole thing together. It's just crab and shrimp, pureed shrimp.
Interesting.
So I can tell you, I can run down the list of ingredients if you want to hear that.
Let her rip.
All right. So you need some chopped celery, onion, bell pepper. You need 6 ounces of the shrimp tails, okay, peeled and deveined, and we're going to use those. Those are going to be pureed in a food processor. Heavy cream, fresh garlic minced, some two different kinds of mustard he likes to use, Dijon and Creole, Louisiana hot sauce, some fresh lemon juice, Creole seasoning to taste, and then 1 pound of the lump crab meat that we talked about a little while ago. And then about a cup and a half of the panko breadcrumbs, toasted in an open skillet and seasoned with salt and black pepper, crushed black pepper. And then you're going to need some salt and pepper just to taste for the cakes themselves. So you're just going to saute your veggies, right, the celery, onion, and bell pepper, and butter until the onions are clear. And then you're going to puree the shrimp in a food processor and add the cream and transfer the shrimp puree to a bowl that holds the if you take your sauteed vegetables, put them in a bowl, and let them come to room temp. Then you're going to add your shrimp in there once it's processed, right? And you want to stir that just to make sure it's really well combined. And you're going to add the crab meat to the mixture. Now, here's the trick. Now, you got to have some finesse with this because you're going to have to mix the crab meat into this mixture, but you don't want to overdo it because you don't want to break up the lumps. Right, you don't want it to be too smooth.
I got you.
Need that crab meat to stay together. And then once you've mixed it, you want to divide the mixture into 8 balls, and you want to press them down into about a half inch thick patties. Place those on a cookie sheet, stick them in the fridge, let them cool for about half an hour or so, and then when you pull them out, just coat each one with the toasted panko that we talked about.
Yeah.
And then add a little olive oil to the skillet, medium heat, and you can probably do, it depends, they're not big crab cakes. You can probably fit, depends on your skillet, maybe 4 cakes at a time. Mm-hmm. And let them cook. You put them in there, let them cook until they're golden browns, 3 to 4 minutes per side, more or less. You don't want to pull them, you don't want to turn them too fast. You know, when you're frying something like that, pan frying something, it's really neat to watch because when you first stick something down, have you ever had this? You stick something into a pan, a hot pan like that, and you decide, oh, I need to move it over because I want to put something else in here too, right? And I don't have room. And you go to try to move it, and it sticks.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah, why?
Well, I don't know why, but I just know it does, right? But here's because I did pork chops last night, and so here's the thing. It's like what I noticed about that. When you are patient, and you just let them cook, and you start to see the juices from that. Just use pork chops as an example. You see those juices coming up on top of the pork chop, right?
Yeah.
You get to a point where you know it's ready to be flipped. So you're not rushing it. It's ready to be flipped. And when you go to actually flip it, it comes up easily.
Okay.
It's not going to stick to the pan, right? Same thing with the crab cakes. You want to give it some time. If you have to force it to flip it, it's not ready.
Good to know. All right.
So a little tidbit of once it's ready, it kind of releases from the pan.
And putting it in the fridge is important, too, I guess. It helps solidify everything, I'm guessing.
It helps to keep it all together, right?
Okay.
To bind it all together.
That's something I would not have thought of. I figured I'd just make that puppy and put it in the pan and probably fall apart and I'd have a mess. But great advice. Okay. And we're going to find this recipe at CatholicFoodie.com. Always like to have a dessert with my entree. We got a minute and a half. Share with us a good dessert. Maybe your blueberry cobbler since it's blueberry season.
I'm telling you, what perfect timing because Char and Zellie are going blueberry picking this morning.
Great.
So we're gonna we getting all set for the weekend, you know. But the blueberries is so easy, right? Yeah, fresh blueberries so easy to make. It really is just 3 cups of blueberries, just drained, rinsed and drained well. A cup of sugar, a cup of flour, an egg, melted butter, vanilla extract, baking soda, baking powder, and salt. Right, and so you preheat your oven at 350. You're gonna place your blueberries in a baking dish, right, like 9 by 13. Baking dish, and then in a glass bowl, you want to combine the flour, sugar, egg, melted butter, vanilla extract, baking soda, baking powder, and salt. Stir to blend well, and then you're just spooning the mixture over the blueberries. So it's not...
Man, that's easy.
No, you don't cover it. You just kind of dollops here and there, you know? And you just bake it in the oven for 30 to 40 minutes until it's golden. The pastry's set and it's golden brown. It's delicious.
That Man, my good. Mouth is watering both crab cakes and blueberry gobbler. We're going to start having you come to the studio and prepare those meals for us. I think that's the next phase. Yeah, now that we can video stream and you could show everybody how to do this. All right, let everybody know where to go if they want to learn a little bit more. CatholicFoodie.com.
CatholicFoodie.com. That's
so
it.
So easy. Hey, by the way, you mentioned your wife and daughter going blueberry picking. Any places nearby in the New Orleans or Baton Rouge area you recommend to go get blueberries?
Well, only places I know are on the North Shore, around the North Shore area. I think they're going to a friend's house to pick today. They've got a lot of blueberries out there. But we do have a place we like. Ask me next week. I'll tell you where it is.
Okay. Very good. Because I'm sure there's some farm somewhere where people can do that. And I know they do it for strawberries. So, all right, Jeff Young, thank you for being with us. Folks, it's already 45 after the hour. Stick around. We've got more on Wake Up.
It is 48 past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. Sister Alicia Torres joins us now. She is the National Eucharistic Revival Executive Team Member and member of the Franciscan of the Eucharist of Chicago. Thank you so much for joining us, Sister Alicia.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
The National Eucharistic Revival, we've been hearing this for quite some time. There's actually a big poster on the Eucharistic Revival at my parish. Tell our listeners tell our listeners a little bit about what the Eucharistic Revival is.
Absolutely. Well, the Eucharistic Revival is really a movement that the Holy Spirit has inspired, that our bishops have asked for and are, you know, instigating is kind of a negatively toned word, but inspiring around the country. So it's been planned as a 3-year initially opportunity for the whole church in the United States to really refix her gaze upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. And so we're coming to the end of the first official year of revival, which has been the diocesan year of revival, focused on leaders, our priests, bishops, people who lead on the diocesan level in parishes, to invite them into these encounters with Jesus that will help to renew our own Eucharistic faith and devotion, help us to experience healing and conversion at deeper levels, so that we're ready to help lead the church in the parish year revival that will be launching this coming Corpus Christi, this June 2023. And then that parish year revival, we hope and pray that parishes around the country will take the opportunity to provide opportunities for people to grow in their Eucharistic faith and devotion, whether it's learning more about the Mass, participating in small groups, going out and serving the poor and the needy in the name of the church, and all building up to the moment of the movement, the National Eucharistic Congress in July 2024 in Indianapolis. And from there, a year of missionary sending. But, you know, as the bishops planned for this, they didn't intend for it to end after 3 years, but the hope and the prayer and the deep desire is that it goes on for years and years and years, that it really becomes a deeply, deeply rooted in the grassroots of our church.
Well, I have also been noticing a lot of parishes have extended their holy hour or are adding a benediction and adoration before Mass or after Mass. Why now? Obviously, our world is hurting. Our church is hurting. Our country is hurting. We're needing something and someone to turn to. And of course, many Catholics know that that is the Eucharist.
Absolutely. You know, it makes me think of this beautiful line, compelling line in the book of Revelation, return to your first love. And that is who Jesus is for all of us, right? We are created in the image and likeness of God, and God has revealed himself to us as a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, always giving and receiving love, this beautiful communion of persons, profound mystery, one God, three persons. But we're made in that image. That means that we are made in love and for love, to give and receive love. But in order to be able to be free to live as sons and daughters of the Father, we have to be in relationship with the Lord and receive from him first, so that we can know who we are and be sent out. And that's what is at the heart of this revival, is that renewal of our identity through that communion with Jesus in the Eucharist. And back in 2019, many of your listeners may be familiar with the Pew Research study that indicated an overwhelming minority of Catholics believed in the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And from that, the bishops were very concerned. It's a crisis, right? If around 30% of Catholics only believe in the real presence. And so at the time, Bishop Barron was leading the Committee for Evangelization and Catechesis, and he prayed and reflected, and as he was finishing that term of service, really encouraged the Eucharistic revival, and as Bishop Cousins, who's the current chairman, came in, he embraced that. The pandemic kind of slowed down the initiation of it, but here we are, and we're so grateful. And like you noted, you know, we're seeing beautiful things happening around the country in response to this call.
Sister Alicia, how does a parish get involved in something like this? Do you send them materials and maybe guidebooks on how to lead their parish?
You know, that's such a great question. We are actually, the whole revival team is actively encouraging pastors and people in the pews to either step up or for pastors to identify what we're calling parish point persons, men and women who can be kind of that lead on the ground at the parish to help the pastor and the pastoral staff to cultivate revival in the parish. We just released our playbook for the parish year of revival. It's available for free to download on our website, eucharisticrevival.org. If you go to eucharisticrevival.org/lead, you can access your free copy of the playbook, and it invites the whole parish and really the whole church into these four invitations for the parish year: reinvigorating worship, so that central act for us as followers of Jesus is to worship the Lord, especially and primarily at Mass, and everything else flows from the Mass and leads back to the Mass. Personal encounters, so like extended opportunities for adoration or different Eucharistic devotions. The third point there would be robust faith formation, so we're really excited to share with the whole church that in collaboration with the Augustine Institute, we're going to be offering access to a video-based small group study called Jesus in the Eucharist that will be available to every parish around the country for free to help deepen our knowledge of who Jesus is and who the Eucharist is for us. And then finally, the missionary sending. So we can't just kind of hold the Lord and hold our faith and hold the Eucharist to ourselves. We have to be sent out. We have to share the good news of who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and how the Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith, both with the people in our lives who are far from the Lord, and then also for those on the margins. You know, how do we put our faith into action? How do we live Eucharistic lives? You know, one of the titles of the Holy Eucharist is the Sacrament of Charity, and how do we allow the charity, the deep, profound love of the Lord to impel us out towards those in great need.
Sister Alicia, where can we go to find out more information and to sign up?
For sure. So please check out eucharisticrevival.org/lead, or I'm the managing editor for our weekly newsletter, Heart of the Revival, where we provide so much information, inspiration, and formational opportunities for people around the country. You can sign up for free for that weekly newsletter at eucharisticrevival.org/newsletter.
So even though we're in some time with the Eucharistic Revival, it's not too late for a parish to sign up.
Oh, it's just beginning.
No.
I think, right, isn't the next phase the parish level? There have been different stages, correct, Sister?
Right. So this Corpus Christi, which will be on June 11th.
Right.
That's the beginning of the parish year revival. So nobody is too late. No one's behind. And if someone hears this 3 months from now, it's never too late to cultivate and launch revival at your own parish.
Thank you so much, Sister Alicia Torres. Looking forward to learning more about the Eucharistic Revival. You can go to eucharisticrevival.org for more information. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. What a great show. All of the information you can find from our guests today, Tyler Morrow with CASA, Jeff Young, the Catholic Foodie, and Sister Alicia, is in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. That's Wake Up Friday on our Facebook page. It's also the first video that you'll see when you go to our Facebook page as well.
All right. Well, the week is over with as far as Wake Up is concerned. Just getting started for the weekend, so hopefully you guys will have a blessed one. And let's wrap up with a prayer to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O Holy Spirit, by your power, Christ was raised from the dead to save us all. By your grace, miracles are performed in Jesus' name. By your love, we are protected from evil. And so, we ask with humility and a beggar's heart for your gift of charity within us. The great gift of charity of all the host of saints is only made possible by your power. O Divine Spirit, increase in me the virtue of charity, that I may love as God loves, with the selfishness of the saints. Jesus, I trust in you. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. We have Peter Howard is going to be talking about the Fulton Sheen Institute, Alan Migliorato, and Dr. David Whitten over at FRANU. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.